expecting, and great things will happen. Amen. Chris here, I'm asking for prayer. I've been having some abdominal issues that are painful and not normal. I'm handing it back to Satan. I don't want it. Katrina, amen.
Yeah.
That's just what he told us to do. Amen. Give it right back to him. Amen. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for your promises, Lord, that your word is the solid rock, Lord, that we stand on, Lord. We thank you for being a father and a husband, Lord, to your bride. And we can come to you, Lord, with a need that you'll fulfill it, Lord, according to your promises, as the prophet told us, Lord. And we bring this before you, Lord, this request here, Katrina, that you would just move on the scene and take away the suffering and the pain there, Lord, and let things go back to normal, we pray. We know that you'll be glorified, Lord, in all things. And be with us now, this evening, in our worship and the words that are spoken. May you be glorified. And be with the others, Lord, that are traveling, those that are sick and suffering, those that are other sides of the world that need your touch, Lord. May you come on the scene, we ask you. We ask these blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just looking for something, a little bit, something to read here. And I had been listening to the Church Age, where he preached the Church Ages. This was in the Ephesian Church Age. And it kind of caught me surprised, and he said it. It's like, you never remember this, but it was good. It said, the angel of the light of Pergamos. The angel of the light of Pergamos was the great Saint Martin. I don't believe there was a greater man ever lived on earth outside of Jesus Christ than Saint Martin. That's what caught me. I had to go back and read it and look. Yep, he said that. Power. The assassins come to him to cut his head off. He believed in signs and wonders and the Pentecostal blessing. And when they was going to assassinate him, he pulled his cloak back and held his neck out to them. And with the assassinator drawled the sword to chop his head off, the power of God knocked him plumb back from him. And he crawled on his knees to ask him for a man. He was an angel to the church. Other things, watch how one of his brethren had been hung. He was on the road to try to find him, see what had taken place. And when he got there, they done hung him. He was laying stretched out dead, and his eyes pushed out of his head. He went in to him and fell down on his knees, laid his body across him for an hour, praying to God. And the power of God come upon the man, and he raised up, took his hand, and walked away with him right there. That's history, just like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and what more. It's history. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, St. Martin was the angel unto the Pergamos age, which the marriage church that takes them over into Catholicism after that. You know, it's wonderful things. You know, God has, he's sovereign. He can, sometimes it's, we miss those things that happened back there because we think, well, that wasn't Pentecostal age, you know, but he had those things all the way through, you find. Mm-hmm. So. Amen. Turn this on here. Yeah. And let's sing Eyes Together.
Blessed because we can. we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we
are the Lord. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
Amen. Praise
And I believe he tells us to be perfect like he did with Abraham. Only one way we can do that is his strength.
That's right.
And it's got to be his strength that's perfect in us. Amen. So glad I'm yours. Let's do that. Eat that.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and set me free. So glad.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord, with expectation. It has already been said, Lord. We, every time we look in the Word, we expect, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that expecting, Lord. Because that is faith. Like way back there when Daniel was expecting, Lord, the captivity of 70 years they'd been there. It was about over, Lord. Yes. He was expecting for it, that to end. And Lord, we are expecting, Lord, you to prove your word. And as we have needs that come along, Lord, and your word says you met our needs, Lord, we expect you to meet our needs, Lord. And you do, over and over. And Lord, as we look in the message, we expect you to give us more revelation. And Lord, you always do. And we expect it tonight, Lord. Thank you that we could come together again, that you've kept us and brought us back. Lord, we ask it now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated.
We had a good time, got away a while, and it usually takes 2 or 3 days to start to relax, and they had me working till Wednesday morning off and on, but the Lord let me just turn it off when it turned off, so I appreciate the time away, and we kept thinking, it's usually Saturday to Saturday, and we kept thinking, it sure is short, but then we remembered we had another day, and it was odd, but we enjoyed it, and we appreciate him letting us do that. And so we wanted to, you know, in the message, in the Bible, it talks about building buildings a lot. It talked about turning corners, and it talks about Brother Branham read a scripture there in one of the messages. What building will you build me? Is that what it was? Let's see. Hang on, man. I think I got a quote here at the end.
What house are you
building? What house will you build me? And then in my Father's mansion, there's many. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. All these talks about buildings. And he says that the tabernacle of God is with men. And Brother Branham, when he was doing when they started these seals, they come into a new, they restructured the tabernacle. They put steel girders through. And if you listen to the tape, you can, in God Hiding in Simplicity, you'll hear where he talks about they put steel girders in there and all the different things they've done to make the building stronger and hold more people and different things. But when he takes this scripture, I thought this was really, really interesting. I saw this years ago, and I just kept looking at it a little at a time, and it just kept coming back on my mind as we were in some of these other things, and so I thought we would talk about this a little bit. But Brother Branham is talking very clearly here. He's comparing himself to David. Over and over, you'll hear him comparing himself to David as we go along here. Comparing himself to David, as in David couldn't build the temple. That David's son would have to build the temple. And that he took David from taking care of the sheep and made him a king. So he gave him a name. And he starts talking about he had a name. He had a bad name. And God gave him a name. And so he just goes through and he starts comparing himself to David. And I thought it was very interesting that he's doing this, because we know that the Lamb is the only one who can open this book. The Lamb opens it, sends it down to the messenger. And so I thought it was very interesting, some of the things that he's pointing at. And there's some visions. I don't know if I got it in here tonight, but Brother Branham, his mother had a dream of those doves, and six doves, and they were cooing all around. And Brother Branham was building on a building, he said. And it was building on a building on a hill. And let's just go through it. There's just too much there for it to not to be something that God was pointing us to. And so let's just look at it. But sometimes I'll just be listening and he'll just point out this and this and this. And they'll just all of a sudden all this, they'll come all at once. But this I don't have all together. So if there's more parts to this, which I feel like there is, well, I don't have them together yet. And we'll see how that goes. You all right, Pumpkin?
Yeah.
All righty. So let's start off here in God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing himself in the same. The same way he's hiding himself is the same way he's revealing himself. And now, you think about that. I sent y'all that quote, put it out on the site there, where Brother Branham is talking about that he was talking about Abel's sacrifice. God revealed to him what to sacrifice. So Abel's revelation and his sacrifice were the same. He revealed to Abel that it was this. And so Abel went and done that. God, he sacrificed and gave to God what God showed him he wanted. And so the revelation and the sacrifice was the same. Whatever he reveals to you, that's what you give him. And so we just think about that a little bit as we go here. Now I want to read the book of Chronicles 17. So he goes down to Chronicles, the 17th chapter, and he reads this. Now it come to pass, as David sat in the house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in the house of cedar. Can you just see this happening? 3,000 years ago, or four, whatever it was. He's sitting there, and Nathan the prophet's sitting there, and they're relaxing in their house, and it comes to David. Brother Bram said God put it on David's heart. He put it on David's heart, but it wasn't for David to do. But he still put it on David's heart. David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. And then Nathan said to David, this is the prophet now, Do all that's in thine heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of the Lord come to Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David. Go tell David, my servant, rather, Thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. He put it on his heart that it needed to be done, but he didn't tell him to do it. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another, whereas I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I command to feed my people, saying, Why have ye not built me a house? Now, therefore, thus shalt thou say unto David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote. So he's telling David that David's not going to do it, but then look what he's doing. He's softening it. I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be a ruler over my people at Israel. And I have been with thee wheresoever thou hast walked, and have cut off thine enemies from thee, and have made thee a name like the name of great men that are in the earth. And I'd like to say that this place that David saw, the same thing that we saw. David saw the same thing that we saw, he says. David said, "It is not right that you people have built me a house of cedar, and the ark of the covenant of my God is still under curtains." That was skins that had been sewed together of sheep and animals. He said, "It isn't right for me to have a nice home and the ark of the covenant of my God remaining in a tent." He sees that this has to be fixed. It can't stay this way. He's the one who put it on his heart. He didn't put it on Nathan's heart. He didn't put it on any of the rest of them's heart. He put it on David's heart that it needed to be done. But he didn't give it to David to do. He gave it to David's son. Which in natural was Solomon. But who really, what tabernacle are we really thinking about? The spiritual tabernacle, which was Christ. He's the one that built it. So God put upon his heart to build a tabernacle. But David, being a man of love and consecration to God, yet he had shed too much blood. So he said, David, speaking this in the presence of the prophet of that age, which was Nathan, and Nathan, knowing that God loved David, he said, David, do all that's in your heart, for God is with thee. What a statement. Do all that's in your heart, for God is with you. So here the prophet tells David, this was in David's heart. God put it in David's heart. And Nathan tells him to do it. Now look at this. How we should stand and not be afraid when we're standing on this word. Watch what he says. And this same night, showing the consecration of David to the love of God. Now this is getting ready to happen, is showing the consecration of David to the love of God. And then to see that same night, knowing that he was in an error, God knew he was in error, that he was not permitted to do it, God was graceful enough to come down and speak to Nathan after Nathan done told him to do it. And I always like these words. Go tell David, my servant, that I took you from the sheepcote. He wasn't nothing. I'd like to apply that here just a minute. Here he goes comparing himself to David. I took you from nothing, and I give you a name. You've got a name like great men that's in the earth. And I'd like to apply that in a confidential, yet in a way of making a point. I was thinking that a few years ago, I was standing down in the city here and nobody cared for me. Nobody loved me. I love people. The prophet goes through those things too. I loved people, but nobody loved me because of the background of the family. No disregards to my precious mother and father. How I wish that mama could have lived to walk in this sanctuary this morning. Many of the old timers who placed their money to help build it here, maybe God this morning will let them look over the banister. But the family of Branham didn't have a good name round here on account of drinking. Nobody had nothing to do with me. I remember telling my wife not long ago, just remember that I couldn't get anyone to talk to me. Nobody cared for me. And now I have to hide to get a little rest. And now the Lord has given us this great place, and this great things that he's done. And he give me, besides a bad name, he give me a name likened to some of the great men. And he's cut off my enemies wherever I went. Now, you remember that's what, when that angel, when we had the amoeba, and it like to killed him. And when he got over it, we read that where Brother Branham said he come back in the room. And then he would think of something and he would come back in the room. And then he would leave and he'd think of something. And he'd come back in the room. And that's what he told him. He said, fear not to do whatever, because he's going to cut off his enemies before him. And he's done it. That's what Brother Branham is testifying to that. There's never been nothing stand before it wherever it went. But and how grateful I am for that. And now, and how would I ever knowed as a little ragged kid up here 2 or 3 blocks from here to the in Granville school, when I was the laughing stock of the school from being so ragged and skate on an old pond, how did I ever know that down beneath that pond laid a seed of a lily that could bloom like this? And he's talking about the building that they're in now and the ministry. And how did I know that no one talking to me, and yet he would give me a name that would be honored amongst his people? And now David was not permitted to build the temple. He could not do it. But he said, I'll raise up from your seed, and he will build the temple. And that temple will be an everlasting temple. And he wasn't talking about the one that Solomon built. He's talking about that spiritual seed that came down from Abraham through David. And upon your son, the son of David, will be an everlasting kingdom he will control. Upon his son will be this kingdom. Solomon, David's son in the natural, from his natural strength, built a house unto the Lord, a temple. But when the real seed of David come, the son of David, he told them there would come a time that there wouldn't be a stone left upon the other of that temple. But he tried to point them to another temple. Yes. He didn't try to point them to the one that's over there now. There's a mosque built on it. He didn't try to point them to that. He tried to point them to another one. He just got through saying here that that seed of David would be the temple. The son of David would be an everlasting kingdom he will control. John, okay, so he tried to point him to the other temple. John the Revelator, over in the book of Revelation, he saw this tabernacle. He saw the new temple coming down. You know how he's going from tabernacle to temple. He's moving to these scriptures, how he's doing it. He saw this tabernacle, Revelation 21. He saw the new temple coming, descending down from heaven, a temple. He tried to point them to another temple. And here's a temple descending from heaven, adorned as a bride was adorned for her husband. And a voice out of the temple said, a voice out of what? He saw a new temple coming. Let's go back and read it. Descending down from heaven. This temple is descending down from heaven, adorned as a bride. And a voice come out of her, come out of the temple. Mm-hmm. Because a voice out of the temple said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God shall be with them, and they'll wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more hunger, no more sorrow, no more pain or death, for the former things have passed away. Now, we've been talking about for a little bit, we went into this about time ending and the fullness of time. And what ended? That old book ended at the ending of the church ages. That old book ended And the Lamb's book was opened. For the former things have passed away. That special designation. Descending. Because what is she? She is that message. You're part of Him. He's His Word. So if you're part of Him, you're part of the Word. And when that message descends, that's her. That's Him, her. That's the Word descending. And when the true Son of David, as we're going to see in these lessons coming up in this week, well, then come to His temple. He come to His temple. The temple of God, the real tabernacle. When Jesus come to this, the Son of David, the temple of God, the real tabernacle, which He has gone away to construct now. And what He said, I'm going away to prepare a place. For He said in John 14, in My Father's house there are many mansions, and I will go. What did He mean by that? It was already foreordained. And I'll go to prepare a place for you, and will return back to receive you unto Myself. And of course, we know that'll be in the great age to come. And the true seed of David will take the throne, which is Jesus Christ. And you're a part of Him. And there will reign over the church as His bride. He'll reign over the church as His bride. In the house with Him, and over the 12 tribes of Israel throughout all eternity. And these little places, as David could not build the true tabernacle of God because he wasn't prepared to do it. David wasn't the one that was prepared to do it. Solomon was the one prepared to do the physical one, and Jesus was the one that was prepared to build the other one. There's nothing he could do. He wasn't prepared for it. He was mortal and shed blood. And so it is today to us. We're not prepared to build the true tabernacle of God. We aren't. There's only one can do that. And it's been in its construction now. It's been in construction all this time. I thought this was so good that he's bringing this before the seals open. It's been in construction all this time, and we couldn't prepare it. It's been him all the time. And then what did he read just above that? He said he would come to his temple. We are not prepared to build the true tabernacle of God. There's only one can do that, and it's being in its construction now. This tabernacle. It's being built. It's being built right now. And there's only one can do it. But this little tabernacle, along with the temple that Solomon built him, these two physical ones, and along with the others, are only temporal places of worship until the time comes when the real tabernacle will sit upon the earth. I saw I can't remember the scripture now. I'd have to go back and pull it. We read it a while ago. Descending out of heaven, a bride adorned, as a bride adorned for her husband. Until the time comes when the real tabernacle will sit up upon the earth, and righteousness shall reign from sky to sky, and there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no funerals preached in that tabernacle. There'd be no more weddings, for the wedding will be one great wedding for eternity. What a time that will be. But let us purpose in our hearts today that in commemoration and waiting for that tabernacle to come, we're waiting for it to come. This is before the seals. We're waiting for it to come, and he's already told us it's being built. But we're waiting for it to come. Don't Don't drop all those. Those little things mean something. They build the picture. That in commemoration and waiting for that tabernacle to come, that we will so characterize ourselves by His Spirit that we will worship in this place as if we're in that other place. Waiting for that place to come. Now let us, I thought this is so on the edge of the seals opening. It's just a beautiful message. You talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. He don't know what the seals are yet. He said it, he didn't. But yet he's bringing this message. You talk about being led. And then when he brought that night, the breach. Now let us stand to our feet. And as I read the Holy Spirit script, and I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the new heavens, a new holy city coming down. I heard the voice out of heaven saying, behold, he sees this tabernacle, the city coming down, the holy city. And he says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Let us bow our heads now. Our Heavenly Father, we stand in awe. We stand in respect and in holy reverence. And we ask you, Lord, to accept our gift that you've given us grace, money, to prepare for a worship place for you. There is nothing or no place that we could prepare upon the earth that would be worthy for the Spirit of God to dwell in. None. But we offer this to you as a token of our love and feelings toward you, Lord. And we thank you for all the things that you have done for us. And now the building and the grounds being dedicated long ago to the service. And we thank you for the memories of what has been. And now, Lord God, as the vision broke through years ago expressing this, that I seen in old buildings that the people once was in, and they had been repaired and made new, and I was sent back across the river. Talking about another build, they were living in these buildings. And what did he say? Jesus went away to prepare your old place. And then he's going to come get you. And he's talking about these new buildings. People once was in, and he saw this vision a long time ago. I don't remember him ever mentioning this vision any other time that I can remember. If y'all know of some time, or if y'all reading along sometime and you find it, then let me know. But because I don't know. And then he mentions this about being sent back across the river. He was sent back across the river. You know what the river is. And now, Lord God, creator of heavens and earth, we stand as the people of thy fold. We stand as the people of thy kingdom. And with myself and the pastor and the church, the people, we dedicate this building to the service of the Almighty God through the name of Jesus Christ, his Son, for the service of God, and for reverence and respects of God, and may the gospel so flow through this place till it'll cause the world to come from the four corners of the globe to see the glory of God going forth from it. You think God is going to answer that prayer? And he did. That's right. And as thou hast done in the past, may the future be many times greater. And Father, We now dedicate ourselves to the service, to the word, with all that's in us, Lord. The congregation and the people, they dedicate themselves this morning to the hearing of the word. And we as ministers dedicate ourselves to the preaching of the word, to be instant, in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, with all long suffering, as it's written there in the cornerstone from 30 years ago. You said the time would come when people would not endure sound doctrine. Boy, if he isn't placing it, he's been pretty much been put out of the churches at this point. But would heap for themselves teachers having itching ears and be turned from truth to fables. Lord, as we have tried to hold the word to the people, may we be inspired and strengthened with a double effort, Lord, as a double portion of Spirit strikes upon this place. May the Holy Spirit, as it was in the days of the dedication of the temple when Solomon prayed, the Holy Spirit in the form of the pillar of fire and cloud come into the front door, rode up around the cherubims and went over into the holy place and there took its resting place. O God, Solomon said, if thy people be troubled anywhere and look to this holy place and pray, then hear from heaven, Lord, may the Holy Spirit this morning come into every heart, every consecrated soul that's in here. And the Bible says that the glory of God was so great until the ministers could not even minister for the glory of God. Oh, Lord God, let it repeat again as we give ourselves to thee with the church in dedication for service. And it is written, ask and you shall receive. And we commit ourselves with our offering of this church this morning to you for service, for the latter day light, for the evening time lights, that we might bring consolation and faith to the waiting people that's waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. Consolation. We might bring consolation to those that's waiting for the coming of the bridegroom to dress a bride in the gospel of Christ for the Lord Jesus to receive. This is one more prayer, I'm telling you. This, we dedicate myself, Brother Neville, and the congregation to the service of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so now we're going to jump way over to the last message, last service he preached there at Shreveport. And I had others in here, and if we got, I don't think we have time, but well, we might have time. If we do, I'll pull the other one in and I'll just add it. And as he went up, now he's talking about this dove, this carrier pigeon that they sent off, and he's talking about when the man threw it up. As he went up, the Germans seen what had happened. So the thing they done, they started shooting at the dove. This dove that had the message. When the Germans saw it and seen what was getting ready to happen, they started trying to kill it. And you think about, well, we just, about no sound, when they'll turn their to itching ears and to fables. And there'll be that time when they won't hear sound doctrine. And you think about what they tried to do. They told, when he went out west there to Arizona, they told the other preachers that if any of them had Brother Branham come to his church, that they would excommunicate him from their permit. You can read that in What House Will You Build Me? I think it's in there. And they started shooting at the dove. And one of them hit him with a 30 caliber machine gun or bullet, and it broke his leg. Another one tore a big chunk out of his back. His chest was bruised all the way across. One of his wings was crippled, and the end shot off of it, and he flew sideways. But he kept climbing, and finally he made it. Crippled, wounded, broken, bruised, but he fell into the camp with a message. That was a great dove. And he's talking about a dove that fell into the camp through all these battles to bring a message. Now, let's go and see what he says. Oh, brother, Isaiah 53 tells us of one come down from home and all that was good, and he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Sickness and superstition and devils had us pinned down. There was no way out. The church had gone wrong, and they went off in denominational things. And the Sadducees and Pharisees and washing and pots and pans. And the word of God become of no effect. But this little dove, look at the picture he's painting of the little dove that come down and fixes this. But this little dove came down, and there's only one thing could take place. There had to be a redeemer. But being wounded, broken, beaten, torn, but he knowed his way back home. So from Calvary's cross, where they bruised him, mashed him, tore him like a bunch of wolves upon him, he made his flight from Calvary and landed in heaven's door, saying, "It's finished. It's finished. They are free." Sickness can be healed now. Sinners can be saved. The captive can be set free. Though he was bruised and wounded, that great battle there, when even everything against him, even the poet cried out. Now, I skipped off some there, and you can go back and get it. I just wanted to set that scene because then he's going to talk about this dove in another way. He's going to talk about a seventh one. And then the next morning, I raised up in the bed and looked. And I looked over in the twin bed. My wife was there, and she hadn't woke up yet. And I was looking out the window toward the great Catalina Mountains there where I live. And I looked up there. He was looking out the window up to where the angel of the Lord put that sword in my hand. And you remember what he told him when he put the sword in his hand? He said, "You're not going to die. It's a," I think he said, "furtherance of your ministry." So that's where he's looking, to where that was done, when he's looking out the window. There where I live, and I looked up where there where the angel of the Lord put that sword in my hand, where the seven angels that you see in the picture appeared. Great things taking place. Up, that's where he's looking. And I looked, and as I looked, there I was standing by that tree again. So he's seeing a vision as he's looking up there, sitting on the bed that morning. Right where that squirrel was, I looked up there and I thought, that's that squirrel's den. And I thought, I wonder if he's still up there in that vision, in the vision. I raked the side of the tree and out he come. And before I could even bat my eye, he was the oddest looking squirrel I ever seen. Now, you'll have to know my ministry to know these symbols and things. And he jumped at me, but he missed me. He missed my mouth. He hit my chest and fell off. And as soon as he did, I heard something say, "Go to the Catalina Mountains." When he went up there, he found that vision he just found. But now, going on down in that same part of that same message. Now notice, and Mama, she said, "Billy, when I come back," she said, "come here, son, and sit down." He says she only had 3 or 4 dreams in her life, but they were all correct or something, he said. "And sit down." And she said, "I had a strange dream. I dreamed I seen you a laying sick, just about to die, with your stomach as usual. How many diets she has cooked me." And she said, You're building a house. You were building a house upon a hill. He's lying sick, but he's building a house upon a hill. And said, I seen six doves come down from heaven, cooing in a letter S, and they sit upon your chest. And you was looking, and the one in front was trying to tell you something. Said they were real glossy white doves, and they took their little heads and put up against your cheek and was going coo, coo, coo. And said, I couldn't understand it. Said they just kept going coo, coo, coo. And I said, oh, I see it. Praise the Lord. And said, they formed their letter S again and went back up into the skies, going coo, 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 going back home. Well, the little animal that I saw was 6 inches long. The string of doves that Mom saw was six, and six is incomplete. I knew that someday I'd see that seventh one. That was the man suffering. So on and on it went. Now, let's go and get that other quote here. He talks about coming out and seeing the seventh one. When the Lord told him to go up there. And he said, what are you doing out here? He's talking to the bird. He said, the bird is sitting and looking west. And that's the way he's walking. And he walks up and he turns back and there's the bird. He just can't hardly believe the bird's there. He knows that's the seventh one. And he says it's over. He saw that it was over. The building, was the building over? This is the messages. These were winding up messages. I'm not trying to start a doctrine, but he told us these things for a reason. So I'm bringing them to our attention so that we can dwell on them and expect the Lord to show us whatever he wants to show us on it. That was man suffering. So on and on it went. So let me see if I have that other quote here. No, you go read that. Go read the rest of that. But I had so much. This is paragraph 4 of What House Will You Build Me? And this isn't going to finish up the thought, but it's just more since we got a little time here. We'll take it. All right, so he's going to read the 7th chapter. The 44th verse. He said, now we're going to Shreveport this coming week, for a series of services. And now we're going to try, if the Lord willing, Brother Moore, Jack Moore, a good friend of both Brother Perry and I, and we love Brother Jack. The message, I think, kind of baffled him a little, especially on some of the things that we hold dear and believe, that it come to us through the opening of the seven seals. And as we believe it, such as serpent seed, eternal security of believers, and so forth, some of these those messages, and maybe to others, we don't think this is hard, but you've got to open your heart to truth. It's not hard if you open your heart to truth. We believe that we're living in the end time. That's just so real to us. That we're just at the end of the road. And to speak in some other man's church, you want to honor the man's hospitality and giving you the opportunity to come in to his church. And I certainly knowing that they don't believe in that, and I would honor them enough that there is plenty more I can speak on, there besides bringing that in, unless it's just the Holy Spirit happened to push it a little, you see, then I would certainly say, as he said. And I don't know no better than to do that. I'm glad he didn't. And I hope I never learn any better than to do that. And so then he goes down and reads the scripture in Acts. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he has appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he would make it according to the fashion that they had seen, which also our father that come after brought in with Jesus upon the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out from before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples. So he's saying this again now. Made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? The kingdom of God is with man, the tabernacle of God. Saith the Lord, what is the place of my rest? Has not my hands made all these things? Now, down in verse 11 of the, or paragraph 11, and when I read in the Bible that where God called Moses away from his loved ones and all that was dear to him, and sent him into the wilderness to write the laws and the Bible. That was the Old Testament, the first four books, Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Exodus. I never said them just in routine, but that's four books. That really is the Old Testament, because the rest of it was what the prophets said, the Psalms of David and so forth, but the Chronicles of the Kings. But it was the fundamentals of the Old Testament. Was Moses wrote them after he was called from his homeland. He wrote them after he was called from his homeland. Wrote the Old Testament. Were he been born and brought up among his people and was sent into the desert to write this book of the Old Testament. Then I find that in the book of the New Testament, where Paul, which is the author, or not the author, but the writer of the New Testament, he also was drove out from among his people, and by spirit unto Arabia, where he was 3.5 years to find the inspiration. And Paul is the chief writer of the New Testament. Now there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but there's scribes that just wrote what Jesus said as they followed him along. But you take the book to Timothy and to Romans and to Hebrews and so forth, Paul received inspiration to write the New Testament, taking all the Old Testament as a shadow and setting it in order. He took the Old Testament and set it in order. Right while he was writing the New Testament. And God honored it and made it the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, the writer had to be drove from his people into the wilderness to get inspiration to write the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the writer was drove by the author into a desert place to get the inspiration to write the New Testament. What was in the desert? The inspiration to write that was, it was coming. And the books are sealed with seven seals. What the inspiration was, the New Testament, the Old Testament, they're sealed with seven seals. It would also require the same. That would also require the same. Yes. I believe in these days to open those seven seals, to leave what you hold dear, to what you cherish, and a little home that was given me by the people. Look how he worked that straight into it. And amongst all my people and friends and church that was flourishing and had nothing lacking, and to leave that, pull right away from that and move away out into the desert where you knew nobody and everything against you. Because further before, he's talking about how spiritually dead it was out there. But there is something about God that he drives a man to do things that's beyond any thinking of his own. And why does he do that? To drive him to do things that are beyond any thinking of his own. So it can be to the glory and honor of God. Aren't we glad that we saw that? And we didn't belittle it. We didn't make it less than it was supposed to be. And I feel that. Not self-honor. But I feel a privilege that it was to leave everything that was called dear to me and get here into this wilderness and suffer like I've never suffered in my life. Here in this wilderness or this desert, but I believe that in doing that and obeying what God commanded to be done, God has opened to us the mysteries of this last day. And we are here with this message. Now, this is what he preached before the Shreveport series. And you know what all's in that all those messages. And then he preached the Shreveport series, which was 6 services. And then the 7th one, he went in to Yuma and preached the rapture. And then all those messages after that. The message after that's like rapture part 2 almost. But anyway, I tried to hit several big spots. There's so many little spots in here. So we'll go back when y'all get back and we'll start going through looking at those little spots. Because just these alone is enough, I feel like. But there's so many other places in there where it's coming to him, where he's realizing it. And then there's things that, like Junior Jackson come in and said that he saw a vision. You know, y'all probably went back and read that vision. That he saw the Shekinah glory coming into the building. And it was when he come down there, with his pregnant wife, he went down there anyways. He come in the building and he said it looked like that building they were in. And Brother Bram said, so it must be that the Lord has not showed me or something like that. Anyways, we'll read those too. We'll go through those. But we're not waiting for him to come back to do it. It's here. Man. All right, so let's stand. We're very sorry to hear about Sister Betty, and we want to continue praying for the family, for each one and all of them, especially Sister Rebecca, who's been there so faithfully all this time. It's going to be hard on her. It is hard on them. So just remember them, and let's pray. Father God, we are so glad, Lord, so happy to read these things, Lord. We don't profess to be some great speaker or anything else, Lord, but we are simply pointing at the inspiration that you gave the prophet, Lord. You gave him the message that we need. And Lord, may we lay in it. May we expect from it. May we, as Elijah all those years, Lord, he was out there in the wilderness and you put him by a fountain to drink. And you brought the food by him. And I'm sure he expected it every day and it came. And Lord, there's so many places in the Bible where they were expecting and not knowing why they were expecting. as we read about the little woman who washed your feet, Lord, and the little woman who suddenly decided that all she had to do was touch your garment, Lord, and all the different examples, Lord. Sister, I think her name was Anna, there at the in the temple, Lord, and how that she, Lord, was expecting to see. And it's so many places. And Lord, when we see that unexpecting in our hearts, Lord, expecting the word to make itself live, Lord, what a satisfaction we can get from that, a peace and a joy, Lord. May you go with us from here, Lord, and be in our walk, be in our everything, Lord. May we might be absolute true testimony, Lord, to you, and not a testimony to ourselves. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I didn't think of one to sing this time. You got one anymore, Brother Michael? Y'all went past one that I liked and I couldn't.
Okay.
I can't remember which one it was. We didn't sing it.
Psalms 19.
That is it.
And I forgot to share my screen. I am sorry.
That's
all right. I'll have to get in the rhythm of it. Statutes of the Lord arise, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is true, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, they that must find gold. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In the keeping of them there is great reward, there is great reward.